Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. I like this one. Betting with Mark must be like playing against him when he was greasing up the jersey. Slippery. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm slippery. I am slippery. Question mark presented by Brakes Plus. Good question. Here we go. Mark, would the Broncos still be 2-0 if Drew Lock was the starter? I think so. I think they would, Mike. I just, the Giants game scares me a little bit because I don't think they go for it on that fourth down and two from their own 49-yard line with 2:28 left in the first half, down 7-3. I think they end up punting that away, try to get an offsides, end up taking a delay of game and punting it away. I don't think that Vic Fangio has the gut for it with Drew Lock at quarterback. He did with Teddy Bridgewater. And that was really, that decision was the catalytic event that opened up the landslide. Remember, their offense, the Giants' offense, didn't touch the ball in real time for 55 minutes. The Broncos possessed the ball. They went down. They drove it down. They scored to make it 10-3. Halftime, they get the ball back. Halftime kickoff. They take an 8.5-minute drive and score another touchdown to make it 17-7. And game's over. So that never happens with Drew Lock. So they go in to halftime down 7-3. And now, even if they put a long drive together coming out of half, it's a 7 ball game, or it's a 6-7 ball game because you end up kicking a field goal. Like, it just doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same to me.
But do they still win?
I still think
the cream rise to the top.
I still think they're a better team defensively. I think they create a couple of turnovers like they did, create a couple of fourth down stops and all that. I think they win it, but I'm certainly not feeling as good about where they sit if they make a different decision at the quarterback position.
A bonus question mark comes in. Mark, should Bradley Chubb have played?
No. That's hindsight. You know, hindsight being
22. Well, it's not hindsight. It's not hindsight when you had people like
me and
D-Mac on the pregame show yesterday saying he shouldn't play.
Right.
Not hindsight, he shouldn't play. Here's a guy who unfortunately is snake bit right now when it comes to injuries. You just feel it, right? You just feel it. This is a guy who's snake bit right now.
Right.
He is injury prone.
Right.
He is fragile. And you can't just trust him to be able to just go out, play through it, and play at a high level. So this early in the season, you sit him out. And the fact that he aggravated it so quickly,
When did he leave?
It was early. It was,
was it in the second quarter?
Yeah. No, but yeah, it was in the second quarter. It was early.
No. Yeah, probably.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was in the second quarter. He was down. Yeah, it was pretty late in the second quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was on the drive that, Lambeau missed the field goal that would have made it, 10-10.
Yeah. Late in the second quarter.
Yep.
Yeah. And, not a good decision. And you knew he was nursing. And I get that you're in Jacksonville. It's warm. You're on the grass and, but yeah, you should have sat him down. And you know what? From a rotational standpoint, let me ask you this. Is 100% of Malik better than 75% of Chubb?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. So whose fault is it that he played?
Ultimately, it falls on Vic Fangio.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make the call. The other thing.
Okay,
about
is that the difference between having
an old school coach
and one of these new wave coaches, like the one you dealt with this weekend and Nick Sirianni? Well, both of them, Sirianni and Kyle Shanahan. Would they look at it a little bit differently? Whereas Vic comes from the school maybe where if you can go, you go.
Right.
Nobody's 100%.
Yeah.
If you go, you go. Whereas maybe one of these younger coaches might look and say, let's think of the big picture.
So I'm having
maybe
this.
Maybe he could play, but let's hold him out just to be sure. Another week.
Right. I'm having this great conversation with the D coordinator of Philly. Guy by the name of Jonathan Gannon. And watching the game, there was a huge rotation from defensive players and defensive line. And so I asked him just about his philosophical approach to rotating players. And Mike, there was something that I haven't heard somebody say before, but just made sense to me. And he said, the rotation is important. I want fresh players, especially I want fresh players in the fourth quarter. I want to be able to have my guys fresh and setting the tone in the fourth quarter. And he goes, and frankly, if you play them the whole game, they're not. They can't be. But he goes, maybe more importantly than that, I want my young players to get a taste. And he said, think about this. We're going to lose players. They lost Brandon Graham, who's an outstanding player for them. He said, we are going to lose players. It's just the nature of the business. So in week 7, do I want a guy coming in that has zero snaps in week 7 and saying, hey, we're playing a must-win game and here you go, have at him? Or do I want one of my safeties that's had 33 snaps through the first whatever week? Which one has a better chance to perform and a better chance in the razor thin margins that we operate in the NFL, has a better chance in those razor thin margins to play well because he's seen it? You got a young guy in Jonathan Cooper. Is it better for him, especially against Jacksonville, to get less reps or more reps? You know, Malik Reed, 100% of him is better than 75% of Bradley Chubb. And now that kid gets some rotational opportunities. And what happens when you need him? Well, he's played. He's had an opportunity. Those things matter. And it was really kind of one of the, like, I operate from an old school perspective, right? And it was really one of those things that was like, wow, wait a minute. Now maybe I need to grow, new information presented. Mm-hmm. Especially in a league, Mike, that's become so specialized and specific that you almost have to do it.
Well, you're seeing an evolution in the league where the way that teams treat their best players or treat their starters during the preseason, it's all hands off. They are so paranoid about them getting hurt that they are willing to treat the first quarter of the NFL season, the real season, as almost an extension of the preseason.
Correct.
Look at the first 2 weeks of the season and the wild ebb and flows that we've seen over the first 2 weeks. After Baltimore loses to the Raiders, then turns around and beats the Chiefs. After the Steelers go to Buffalo and beat the Bills and then lose at home to the Raiders. The Saints look fantastic in week 1 and get blown out by the Panthers of all people in week 2. After everything that we've seen, some of the flips from week one to week two, I'm fully expecting Aaron Rodgers to light it up tonight.
Yes.
And to look totally different.
Right.
And to put to rest all these concerns about what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Relax.
But that said, is that what that tells me is that what you see in the first few weeks of the NFL season tells us as fans that these teams, these coaches are prepared to kind of feel out the season in the early going.
Well,
so why shouldn't that
right.
also extend to how you treat important players like Bradley Chubb when it comes to whether or not they're playing or not? And the idea that already in week two, you're going to have a guy that is 70%, but he's 70%. That's good enough.
Right.
No, he's too important. You got to figure out whether or not this is a guy that you can commit to long term. You have the luxury of waiting to try to get him back close as possible to 100%. And have them available to play the games that are going to be most meaningful as you move forward.
Right.
Not week two against Jacksonville when he's at 70%.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a really interesting, the development of young players, because let's face it. What do you have on your roster? You have, you know, what do I call it all the time? The 20-80 rule, where 20% of you guys make 80% of the money. And then a bunch of young guys that you're trying to develop. How do you develop those guys? Let them sit on the bench? Play scout team? Or you get them into games? You give them opportunities to see what they can do. And I think there's a lot to that conversation. And anyhow, the Bradley Chubb thing is right now. I mean, if you keep running him out there, he's going to keep running out there because he's got that old school mentality. And you know what? You're never going to find out if what he has the potential to become if you keep running him out there and he keeps playing at 75%. But it is a dilemma, because I grew up in a time where there's a badge of honor. If you don't play at 75% and play well at 75%, mm-hmm. you know.
But a lot of old school thinking is being challenged and is being changed
mm-hmm.
as we move forward. It's obvious.
Yeah.
So should that be the next one to fall?
I don't want the NFL to go full NBA here, which is, you know, the NBA has become a joke.
Yeah,
with
load management stuff.
All these guys.
There's gotta be
What's the happy medium? What's the middle ground?
It's been activated.
The happy medium, I mean, you still have to play, but I guess it just depends on how much better are you than the guy behind you, and at what's the percentage that you and that guy become even. And at that point, you play the guy that's healthy.
All right, some more reaction. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday. Just some more here. Funny how the narrative changes. 3 weeks ago, Herbert was the second best QB in the division. Right now, he's fourth. I mean, if we're just doing the week-to-week grading.
You're just doing the...
Just week-to-week.
If you're just doing the week-to-week statistical grading, yes. You're just doing it off stats.
Well, the Chargers offense is averaging 18 points per game.
That's... Well, if we're doing it off of stats, then... If we're doing it purely off of stats, then Derek Carr is the best quarterback in the division.
I would say right now Derek Carr is playing the best of all four quarterbacks in the AFC West. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody would say Derek Carr is the best.
No, but
they'd say he's the second best.
But if we're just
because
going...
Because there's a body of work that you have to put in. You got to put in the eye test. And some of the throws that Herbert makes are ridiculous good. I mean, ridiculous good. But right now, you are correct. Derek Carr is playing great. Like, if I was just going statistically on who the best quarterbacks in the division are, you go Derek Carr first. Would you go Mahomes or would you go Teddy Bridgewater second?
Let's not go crazy.
Well, look at the two numbers.
I'm not going to drop Mahomes down to third, okay?
Efforting music? Can you just on, you know, because, you know, all you... fantasy nerds want to, you do it all numbers. Because they're all numbers.
Not just numbers. It's the eye test, too.
Oh, no.
It's the eye test, too.
You can't have an eye test if you don't know what you're looking at, D-Mac.
Nope. That escalated quickly.
Patrick Mahomes is completing 76% of his passes. He's averaging 340 yards passing per game and has six touchdowns and one interception.
Okay, where's Teddy?
Teddy's at 77%.
Aha! Higher.
Yeah. He's just more accurate. Just the way he is. He's averaging 300 yards passing per game.
A little bit lower.
A little bit less.
What is that, 60 yards less?
40 yards per game less.
Okay, 40 yards.
And he's thrown four touchdowns, two less, but zero interceptions. That Patrick Mahomes is just too mistake.
Patrick Mahomes is third in division. He's third by your numbers. By your numbers, he's third in the division.
No.
Derek Carr is the best quarterback in the division after two weeks.
But the headline
if
here.
If the season were to end today,
Patrick Mahomes
is the third best quarterback in the division. Yes, we're winning. Yes. Yes!
Woo! I'm not going to go there, but I'll give Derek Carr his props. He's the best quarterback in the division right now. As we do the week-to-week grading, overreaction, underreaction.
What happened to Mahomes?
Yeah, happened to Mahomes?
Remember when Mahomes was good?
Yeah.
Geez. And then he just fell off the map.
Yep.
I just don't understand it. Really don't.
Did you see the Mike Kliss story about John Elway being interested if the Broncos come up for sale? Reading from Mike's piece yesterday, per source, the Broncos' former quarterback, general manager, and current president of football operations has interest in being part of an ownership group if the team is put up for sale. And the expectation is that Peyton Manning is also interested in putting an ownership group together. Elway versus Peyton.
Well, I'm going to break some news.
Okay.
I hadn't planned on doing this, but.
Well, you're throwing your hat in the ring?
I would like to be part of an ownership group.
What can you add to your ownership group?
I've got a Green Chili Company.
Good point.
I'll bring that along with me.
Yeah. Terrific landscaping consulting.
I could be out front of the Broncos facility. Need some new bushes out there, Stink. I'm in. Right?
I'll dig the hole.
Boxwood. Throw some boxwood in those planter boxes. I'm in. I could bring hundreds of dollars.
to the party?
Hundreds of dollars to the table.
Simple question. All things being equal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's equal in terms of what each group can bring. All of that. Who would you want to be part of the next ownership group of the Broncos? John Elway or Peyton Manning?
I mean, either one would be really cool. I would just like to know from an ownership group standpoint, who brings the most fat cash?
I've said all things being equal.
Well, all things.
Would you want a John Elway influence in ownership or a Peyton Manning influence? In ownership.
Well, I would want a Peyton Manning influence in ownership if Peyton Manning is going to also be president and, you know, and run some of the program. If neither of them are running anything, they're just owning.
Right.
Like where owners own, then Elway, because Elway is the face, he's the Duke of Denver.
Right.
He's the face of the Broncos.
Right.
That would
as long as that's all he's doing.
Yeah, I think
just sitting up there in the owner's box,
owning,
not being Jarrah.
Right, owning.
I'd do anything known to man.
So, okay. I think that face thing would be tremendous.
Okay,
but if you're going to be part of the day-to-day operations, I would like. I'd like to see Peyton do it.
Peyton would not be involved in ownership, my opinion. I can't see Peyton just being an owner being involved.
I think Peyton wants to run something.
I think he wants to run something.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with, I don't know how George Payton would feel about that, but how would you feel about a Peyton Manning run football operation?
Oh, I think I know the attention to detail would be there. All that stuff would be there, and I think Peyton would work in unison. One Peyton and Peyton.
Mm-hmm. But it'd be Peyton Manning's show.
Well, Peyton
like right now, I get the sense that George Payton does have autonomy. That John Elway has most definitely stepped back.
Correct.
Okay,
I get that same feeling.
And I get the sense that if John were to be involved in ownership, that he would be more predisposed to just being an owner.
Yes.
Peyton, no.
Exactly. I agree 100%. If you were an owner, all things being equal, mm-hmm. So you are facing another owner, and you both have billions of dollars. Writing a check for the Broncos is nothing for you,
right?
Who would you want? You've got both of them waiting to be a part of your group. You got Peyton, you got
Elway,
and you're writing the check, and you get to pick which one you want.
Peyton. Yep, Peyton. Because I get what you're saying about John. I mean, it's John Elway.
Yeah.
Right? But you know what? Peyton Manning is the face of the Broncos isn't too bad either.
Right.
That's not, I get John put the Broncos on the map. No doubt about it. But
welcome to Bronco land.
Peyton is the face of the Broncos. That would wear well, I think.
I think there's an ulterior motive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for you. Because you were so quick with that.
Yeah. Huh? What do you think it is? What's my ulterior motive there, Mark?
You ever hear the old saying that if you want to look thinner, just hang around with fatter people?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
If you want to de-emphasize the size of your head because you're the owner.
Jeremy, you find it through me.
Find a guy who has.
God, I got to be better at.
Maybe some real large head features.
I got to be better at
hiding
that.
Right.
It's too obvious.
That make yours seem a little softer. It's like the movie Roxanne when he would go in and try to put shading on his nose, right? Remember that?
You hot snot, you. But I don't know what that would mean for George Payton. Because Peyton Manning, he going to want to be involved.
Yeah, well, that's true.
He going to want to be involved. Okay, coming up, Troy Rank. On his way from Jacksonville back here home. He was there yesterday. His firsthand observations. He'll join us next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3, The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
No jokes. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air, and he has just traveled back from Jacksonville this morning. Welcome home, Troy. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's always great to be back home.
It's always great to be back home, especially after a win. And let's start there, just the victory in general. But it feels like we're seeing kind of the changing of the guard in regards to the running back position. It feels like Javonte Williams is a guy that just needs 20-plus carries a game. It just feels that way to me. Well, what do you think the plan is there going forward?
Well, they've split carries right down the middle, 50-50 the first two games. I don't expect that to continue. Some of that's a little bit of a statistical anomaly. But in the second half of that game yesterday, Javonte had better runs. You know, he's just physical. We've said this. He runs with violent intentions. He has no fear of contact. Melvin Gordon's done some nice things, including the 70-yard touchdown run. But the thing that's different about Javonte Williams than most rookies is they trust him in pass pro. And you watch around the league yesterday, there were a lot of running backs that you cannot trust in pass pro that get your quarterback devoured. And they trust him. And they talked about him. Vic Fangio described him as having the kind of calm that he sees from Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they like him a lot. We'll see. I do think you're going to see games, Mark, where they ride the hot hand. You're not going to see a 50-50 split. So if one guy isn't getting it done early, the other guy gets hot, then that person's going to ride the game out. But Javonte Williams has been as advertised for 2 weeks.
Well, Cortland Sutton and every move he makes has been studied and micromanaged by all of us. Were you surprised that he went out and was that effective, that dominant yesterday?
I was, because it's hard with Cortland in camp. There were times he was dragging his leg around and still dealing with recovery from his left ACL surgery. And then there were times even in that game yesterday, where you're like, oh, he's hurt. Is he limping a little bit? Some of it, I wonder. I was telling my oldest son last night, we were talking about the game. It's almost like it's become a little rope-a-dope with him. He kind of struggles back to the huddle a little bit. He doesn't look right. He's a little sore. And next thing you know, he's catching a 55-yarder downfield. So, you know, there are moments I think the knee is still a little cranky. But when it comes to 50-50 balls, he's open when he's covered. And he's so physical. He reminds me in some ways of like a – and he's not that size yet, but of an Anquan Boldin. Boston, he used to play for the Cardinals. Like, he's just a big physical guy. He's more of a possession receiver than a deep threat, but he lulls you to sleep. You think he's just going to go over the middle, catch it, and then next thing you know, he's running past the corner. So that was well deserved for him given the rehab process. They needed him to step up. You guys, I think, had talked about on your show. When you have man coverage and you find a matchup you like, you keep going to it. And Sutton just kept winning man-to-man matchups. And I give Teddy Bridgewater huge praise for staying stubborn, not taking a hint, and getting greedy and going back to it after the first couple didn't work. He didn't settle for the checkdown. His reputation as a checkdown Charlie has taken a big hit these last 2 weeks, guys. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, honestly, I don't know that he could have played any better these first two games.
You know what's really interesting is – Bronco fan who's been starved for a decent football team for 5 years, there's still a level, at least on the text line, of doom and gloom. Yeah, but we only beat the Giants. Yeah, but we only beat Jacksonville. We didn't beat Jacksonville by enough, and Teddy Bridgewater's coming back to earth, and oh, woe is me. I mean, it's almost shocking that people aren't really getting behind this team. What do you say?
I mean, you need to stop listening to the Smiths and then go outside, take in some sunshine. I used to tell this people about the Rockies. When they're playing well, enjoy it. Why do you have to just assume it's going to be awful? They're playing well right now. And you're saying, well, they just beat the Jaguars. Well, they couldn't beat the Bears and Jaguars at home a couple years ago that ruined their season. I could list 15 bad teams they've lost to over the last 5 years. Yes, their schedule's been easy, but they need not apologize, Mark, for winning two road games by double digits. It's not like they won on last-second field goals. Yesterday they won a game, guys, with 10 penalties and allowing a special teams touchdown. There's no way in the last 4 years they win that game when that happens. And that shows you they have more depth. And they're so much more functional offensively. They never had margin for error the last 4 years. Now they've defined themselves as ball control offense. They've had, what, three drives of more than 8 minutes? But they also showed some quick strike ability. That drive to start the third quarter, they've scored touchdowns on their first drives of the third quarter, back-to-back weeks. And that drive yesterday, 4-play, 75 yards. So I would just say, look at the good things. Then they're going to play the Jets. They're terrible. Who cares? You play the schedule in front of you, you go to 3-0, then it gets real with the Ravens, with the Steelers, then you have, I think it's Bengals, Raiders. You're going to find out soon enough, but wouldn't you rather find out going into those games 3-0 than 1-2? So I just enjoy it, especially offensively, where they're actually functional for the first time since Peyton Manning retired.
Troy, we got about a minute left. What went into the decision to play Bradley Chubb?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have talked about it. You've hit on it. He was good enough to go. He was right at that threshold. He's done everything he could the last 2 weeks to play. He wanted to play, and they felt like he could go. And he looked decent early. I think he ended up playing 19 snaps. I thought he wouldn't play because of, you know, the nature of the opponent. They didn't need him to win. It's a 17-game season, but it's a tough league. It's a man's league, and that culture of everyone's hurt. Are you good enough to go? And he was right, kind of right at that gray area of being able to go. Hindsight 2020. That's why, and with athletes, and I've learned this coaching kids forever, and it's way different. The stakes are entirely different. But you have to protect the player from himself sometimes. You just watch it, and you treat the symptoms and say, you're not going today. But that is hard in the NFL when there's only 17 games. That's not a lot. You got a guy trying to play for a contract, his future, wanting to get that big deal. There's so many factors at work. Sometimes you just need that external force to say, you know what, it's close, it's just not good enough. We're giving you another week.
All right, Troy, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Glad to have you back home. Have a great day.
You got it, guys. Take care. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
All right, we'll get to more of your reaction. Ton of stuff coming in. And I guess the biggest takeaway from the first 2.5 hours of this show is this. Bronco fan, are you not entertained? Are you not happy with 2-0? Is the fact that it's happened against these two opponents just leading you to not be able to get excited? Your reaction coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. This is an important question that probably only you can answer.
Okay.
Somebody brought this up in the wake of us just talking with Troy Rank.
Yes.
So the line that I used earlier, which I was quite proud of, made it up right away. That after that first drive, Trevor Lawrence looked more like Johnny Lawrence getting punched in the face by Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah. It was a great one.
Was that more Troy Rank or more Jim Nance?
Oh, that's a Troy Rank. That's a Troy Rank.
You know, Troy's like, you know, that offense has more wrinkles than a Sharpay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good. That's exactly the kind of...
Whereas Nance is more of the... A win for the ages!
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Do you find yourself watching Tony Romo call a game and go, oh,
yeah! Say it's all I hear now. All I hear now. Oh, all I hear is Frank Elliott, though.
All right.
That's all I hear now.
We're going to get busy, Jim!
Tony!
Love it.
Anyway. Okay. Some more reaction. I threw out the question. What's the deal? Why does there seem to be so much... distrust? Pessimism? Leeriness? Out-and-out hostility in some places to the Broncos 2-0. And the idea that anybody should get excited about these two wins. This one comes in. On the text line, the Broncos are in rehab. You can get excited about the progress, but in the back of your mind, you know a relapse is highly possible. They need to finish all 12 steps before being fully trusted again. Right now, they're on like step 3.
Pretty good analogy, actually, right? There's that. It's the trust factor. I just don't think people trust this. They don't trust this group.
All right, let me read this. I think part of the fans' apprehension is we've gotten off to fast starts before just to watch them fall off mid-season. Even in the last few seasons, we've had some decent starts, and it all just adds up to junk. That's true. They were – didn't Vance start 2-0 one year? He did?
Yeah, I think he did.
Ah, the salad days of Vance Joseph.
That's obvious.
But I guess my response to all that would be to all the negative Nancys out there is who's getting swept up in this? Like, I thought they'd go 8-9 to start this when the season when we did our predictions. You said 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at the point where you said, "Ah, I've seen enough"?
No,
I was wrong. I'm moving off 9-8. I'm going to 10-6. 10-7, 11-6, 12-5. Are you deviating from that at all yet?
No. I mean, I could see them winning 10, and I thought there's an outside chance of them winning 10. It feels better than it used to, but it still does not feel like this is a lock. And it's funny, you know, we used to say going to 10 wins,
over 9 wins when there was a 16-game schedule was like 9-7 and 10-6. There was a huge, even though it's one game, it felt like a huge separation. It feels like a huge separation between 10-7 and 11-6. Or 11 and, is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, you. Getting better at this math thing.
It's still a little iffy. Just a wee bit iffy, Mike Evans. But you know what I'm, you know what I'm saying? It just, it feels like a little bit. But am I ready to anoint them in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not.
No. The only thing I'm taking from these two games is they've put themselves in a position to at least have a chance.
By the way, at
a good season. I'm not, there is nothing, put this way, for again, for all of you who are like, oh, pump the brakes, all of you, you know, hey, look, I'm not swept up in it. They've done what they've had to do.
Right.
There are some things that they've done in going 2-0 that you can feel good about.
Yeah.
And overall, they've done what we all laid out for months that they would have to do in order to have a relevant season, and that is take advantage of the soft schedule to start the season. And so far, they're 2-for-2.
By the way, we went into this thing before any of the games started in the preseason, and everybody felt like you'd be happy if they came out of these first three games at 2-1.
Yes.
Remember that? We all, oh, man, that'd be great. Just come out 2-1. And now you're like, based upon the first game against the Giants, you're like, if you don't come out 3-0, it's a disappointment. 2-1 would be a disappointment.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny how the perspective has changed, how the narrative has changed on what this team could be, what it should be, and the way we look at, you know, what they are.
Assuming they take care of business against the Jets, by the way, Broncos have already been installed. What would your guess be as to what the Broncos have been installed at as a favorite for the Jets?
So they were a 6-point favorite going down to Jacksonville.
Correct.
Covered that. They were a 3-point favorite in New York. You think about a 6-point favorite on the road, the home team gets 3 points, so you're really a 9-point favorite.
Right.
So you're a 6-point favorite in New York. At home, home opener against the Jets.
Zach Wilson just threw 4 picks against Belichick.
They are going to be an 8.5-point favorite.
11.
Wow.
Biggest line on the board right now.
Really?
11. And I suspect it'll go up.
Right.
As the week goes along. So, assuming, that they're 3-0 one week from now, it'll be like, yeah, well, look at who they beat. Right. And you know what? There'll be some truth to that. And you know what I'll say one week from now? I'll say now the season really begins.
Right.
But you know what? I would much rather begin my season 3-0 than 0-3, 1-2, 2-1. Okay? Now we find out. Now we find out if this is real or if it's a mirage. But you know what? I'd much rather start this all at 3-0.
Mike, we talked earlier in the program about how some coaches consider this an extension of the preseason and how, you know, each week in and week out, you have to be getting better. You have to be making the, you know, requisite strides to be a better football team. And, you know, you've got to continue to progress. And I would tell you, I understand the mentality, but can you imagine, like, you have an opportunity to set yourself up early if you just play good football. If you just make less mistakes than the other team makes mistakes. I have a problem with you coming out and say, well, this is really just kind of an extension of the preseason, because you know what you say to your players? These games aren't as important as they are after week 3 or 4. Joe Judge said it to me in a meeting. Head coach of the New York Giants.
really, this we're still feeling it out and feeling what we might become. Well, guess what? You can feel that out, right? Like you did last year, start 0-5 or whatever you were, and you're it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Now that division was so bad that they still found a way to get back into it, but you know what I'm saying. I just don't know. It goes back to my philosophical approach to preseason. They don't count. They matter. It matters. And I will say this about the Broncos. The way they competed in the preseason, it mattered. And look at what it's doing. It's paying dividends right now.
Go to 3-0. At least your season still holds meaning. It still holds intrigue. It still holds possibility. You don't take advantage of this soft schedule, and you're 1-2.
Right.
Then you know what you have, unfortunately, a season that's over before it even began. But right. I don't know of anybody that is on this station that you'll hear from the rest of the day. I don't think anybody is going to put so much stock in these two wins, beyond what we just talked about, I don't think anybody's going to run with these two wins and say, wow, was I wrong about this team? I mean, I always knew they could get off to a good start with this soft schedule, but the way they've done it, man, I totally had this team pegged wrong, and I think now this is a team that can compete to win the division and absolutely should be a playoff team. I doubt you'll hear anybody the rest of the day say that. Do you?
Yeah, I think the jury is out, and I think going into this, you knew that the season started with some teams that were, hey, new head coaches, two new head coaches, two young rookie quarterbacks. Like, if you don't come out of this thing with wins, you're in trouble. The only one that was in doubt to me going in, and I picked the Broncos to tear them up, but the only one that was in, even had a little bit of a doubt early, just simply because I know how good that defense has the potential of being, was the Giants game.
Yeah. 2-0. Come on. Enjoy it. Most of you, I think, enjoy it. But those of you who are still the naysayers, just enjoy it, okay?
Yeah.
You'll have your time down the road to say, aha, gotcha, I told ya. Okay, maybe that day will come. It probably will come, okay? Just enjoy it for now, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Life's too short. We're done. The new lineup today. Everyone's moving on up an hour. We kick things off next with Chad and Nate coming your way. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.